get straight is that God is trying to say one thing. He did it. Okay? No one else. God made what we have. Now let's start with the first verse. Chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Alright? God did it. And underlying the word created, this is one of the few times it's used. It's not used as often as you may think. But this verse says, in the beginning, now the question comes up was, when was the beginning? This is something men argue over. I see absolutely no sense in when was the beginning argument. Science will tell you that some of the evidence they find in the rocks and the structure of the earth and so forth indicates millions and billions of years. All right, that may or may not be. The ultra-fundamentalists will say, we can't go back more than about 7,000 years. Everything must have been done about 7 or 6,000 years ago. And their chronological order, their addition and so forth, to arrive at this time period is a little bit vague. God has not told us everything that we would like to know. Alright? Now, the first big argument among those who proclaim themselves as experts in the scripture begins with verse 1 and verse 2. When was the beginning? I have to sit here and confess. I don't know, and I don't know because the word doesn't tell me. But it tells me what I do need to know. Whatever began was began by God. In the beginning, God did it. Now that's the important point in verse 1. In the beginning, whenever that was, God did it. Alright? Now we'll come back to that time element as we go along a little bit. Then in verse 2 it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. People take various stands on this. Some just sort of ignore it. Some say that the evidence is, and I tend to lean in this direction, this is what I believe, to a point, because there's overwhelming evidence that indicates it is probably so. And that is that God created the heavens and the earth. What happened from that creation to the point that we have in verse 2 and 3, or verse 3? Verse 2 puts a space in there. I don't know. Dave will tell you that it covers a period when there were civilizations on the earth, there were men on the earth, the earth was ruled by Satan as the angel of light. Then he was just, he rebelled against God, and he was cast out of heaven and exiled to earth. And then the earth, under the leadership of Satan, in the depths of sin, was totally destroyed. And he says, by a flood. The flood of Noah was the second flood. The scientific evidence in this direction. But it cannot be established. And while the verses he uses to establish his points say much that he claims, they say it out of the context that he claims them in. Alright? Once again, the rule that we have to take in the study of the scripture is primarily important not to use it to the context that we claim any verse in. It is grave harm to the scriptures to take a verse out of context and apply it with a verse taken out books and pages and chapters away and put the two verses together and make them say what you want them to say. That's doing harm. That's doing damage to the Word of God. Alright? You just simply can't do that. And one of the things, I have a day's Bible, and I keep it in my office, and my spare time I read that. And then I go from there to my other commentaries. Dave has a habit of taking a verse and giving you a note pertaining to another verse further along in Scripture or behind in Scripture, elsewhere in Scripture. And then when you get there, you'll find another note that brings you back to the first note. And he uses one to explain the other and keeps you going in a circle. In other words, he'll say, says verse 1, you'll find the explanation with verse 96 somewhere else. When you get to verse 96, he says you'll find the explanation back in verse 1. All right? And so you've got to go on the surface sometimes. Yeah, most of them will. So what I'm trying to say is, the thing I want to get across, if I don't get anything else across tonight, is we don't need to get into the middle of some of these arguments. None of them are important to our salvation. The point that God is trying to make is that, once again, He did it. All right? However He did it, I don't know. When He did it, I don't know. How long it took, I don't know. Now, when it gets down to what we call the 6 days of creation, I'll buy that as being 24-hour days. You'll find arguments that will say, well, a day of the Lord is as 1,000 years, and therefore those creation days are 1,000 years each. It took 6,000 years to create what we have. I don't buy that. Some will say that a day in certain uses in the Scripture represents a year. And it does. So therefore, it took God 6 years to create it. I won't buy that either. Here, and I'll tell you why when we get to it. I think we'll move along now. We have verse 1. In the beginning, God did it. He created the heaven and the earth. And then the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. I'll buy the fact that something happened, that from the point of original creation till God decided to put man on the earth, something happened in this earth. I say that because we have too much evidence of humanoid remains on the earth, the prehistoric monsters. There has to be some explanation for it. You know, the dinosaurs and so forth. Alright? I can't understand where they came from other than something like this. Also, science will point out to you that some few thousand years back, not a great period of time, they can't draw the line exactly, but somewhere between 6 and 10,000 years back, and they'll lean towards 6 or 7,000 years, there is a line drawing where species and so forth don't cross. They can't find the remains of certain modern animals beyond that period back. They can't find the remains of certain animals that go so far back in the modern era. And I'll say the modern era from 6,000 or 7,000 years, somewhere in that range. All right? I don't know. But now we go along, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. All right? Now we have an earth, we have the heavens, we have darkness and confusion on the earth in some form. And God is looking over what is there, and now He says, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now this is why I say it was 24 hours. God established what a day was. He's defining a day here in this verse. He's not saying it was 1,000 years long. He created the light. Now let's see, does it say? He said, let there be light. Alright, He doesn't say He created light. He said, let there be light. Alright? And there was. And He separated light and darkness. And the light was day, and the darkness was night. And the light and day made, the light and night made a day. Okay? Now He's defining the day there. And because of that, I have to buy 24-hour days in the creation. I don't see any evidence of any period any longer. And I can't buy that it was beyond the power of God to do so. One of the other things to watch for as we go along is the usage of the word made where you expect created. Now, made, when they make a building, let's say one of you gentlemen is going to make a chicken coop, all right? You make it out of pre-existing material. Board of wood that pre-existed in a tree, all right? That pre-existed in the minerals and the waters and the earth and the light from the sun. That pre-existed and goes from there. But you didn't create anything. You may say you created a of what pre-existed. When you create something, you make it out of what didn't exist before. Now, some people say a creative person is one who has original ideas, and he's able to transfer that to canvas or in the form of an invention or something else. All right, that's a form of creation because it comes from what didn't exist before. All right? But it's not the same as God's creation. When God created something, he made it from absolutely nothing. Now, I'll point out something else. God is eternal. All right? We talk about the expanse of the skies, the multitude of the galaxies and the suns and so forth, and the probable number of planets around them, and they're beyond my comprehension. I don't even try to translate them into numbers because they get beyond me. And I think that anything that man can estimate, God has already greatly exceeded. I have a strong suspicion that the best of man's imagining doesn't make the first digit behind the decimal point after a long row of zeros, all right? I don't think it amounts to anything. I think that God's creation in eternity is beyond anything that we can express. I don't think just that God would exist in the back portions of eternity in nothing, all right? He may have had thousands of other, millions of other, numbers of other creations. I don't know. But his crowning glory, as he states it in the Word of God, is here on this earth in man. All right? Man is God's crowning achievement, the ultimate of his heart, the focal point of all of his attention and love. And this is the point he's trying to get across. So he made the first day and the first night. Verse 6. Then he said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. The visible sky. The clouds. Most of them, this surprised me, most of the commentaries say that this was simply the clouds in the sky, the normal range of vision then. And the evidence is that the sun, at this stage, as we know it, was not visible. Light filtered through a deep layer of cloud. All right? Now, again, you get into an argument between Date and other commentaries. Date says that it rained. Other commentaries say that it didn't rain until a flood came, and they give evidence both ways. I don't think it's terribly important. The fact is God provided the conditions that he wanted on the earth at the time that he wanted, and he changed conditions when he wanted to. All right? Once again, the point to remember is that God did it his way. And I think the primary lesson in Genesis is that God did it his way, in his kind, as he wanted to do it, by his power, and man never added anything, had nothing to do with it. All right? It all originated with God. And the lesson in that, to me, is that today, whether you and I like it or not, in the end result, God is going to do it his way, in his time, in his place, as he wants to do it, without any help from us. Too often we get the self-important idea that we're going to do something to help God. Uh-uh. God is going to use us to suit his purposes. And the sooner we recognize it and submit to it, the easier it will be to accept it, and the more peace and joy will come from it, knowing that it is in the hands of God, not in the hands of this preacher or the congregation or the people outside. Now, if we can learn that lesson, living in this world for the little while that we have is going to be a lot easier. We need to know it. It doesn't change the headache when you've got it. It doesn't change the empty stomach or the starving child. It doesn't change disease. It doesn't change the mental anguish that we have in families today with the breakup and the problems that we see on every hand. But remember, God knows what's going on, and he's going to use it for his purpose and for the good of his crowning achievement, man. Alright? Now, so God put the clouds up there and gave a background to his creation for the things that are down below on the earth. And so we have water above and water below. And
can't see anything but 24 hours in there. The evening and the morning were the second day.
Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven.
to divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven and gave light upon the earth to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now this brings in a little confusion to some of the man-made theories as to whether the creation was totally, let's say the space above the clouds was totally hid by the clouds, or whether they were revealed. There must be some reason for God inserting the visible stars, the sun, and the moon, and for the seasons and so forth. Now, I see nothing wrong in taking the stand, if a person feels strongly enough to do so, that the clouds hid the sun, the moon, and the stars, and they weren't for seasons and so forth until after the flood. I don't know. You know that we can have very heavily overcast days, and we can get a light from the sun, and there's still enough difference between night and day that we know what it is. But it says here that God set them there, and I would suspect that maybe the clouds were broken. Buddy Woodman there, I think there must be days when he wonders, you know, but I'm not going to give on him yet. I don't know. And I think that maybe the more we get into things like this, the more ready we ought to be able to say, I don't know. If God wanted us to know, he would have given us more detail in the Word, and he hasn't done it. I suspect that when we get to heaven, we'll find a lot of the answers. Now we've got up to the fourth day. The fifth day gives the creation of animal life, sea life, and so forth. The sixth day, additional animal life and man. Now, I'm going to drop with that, and next Sunday night we're going to pick up with the creation of man. We'll see what was involved in that. We'll see some of the depths of God's love. We'll see some of the things that we need to know. You be in prayer about it, and we'll